The instant I steered into her narrow driveway, Michelle emerged from the front door of her row house condo and pulled it shut behind her. She was more than ready to go. She was raring. The garden and another game beckoned. It was a few minutes after four on a gray, misty Friday afternoon in Stamford, Connecticut, a few weeks after my Hall of Fame induction, a new NBA season underway. We were headed into Midtown Manhattan to a Knicks game, not unlike any of the thousands we'd attended. Michelle, the fan, in her choicest of locations in the first row right behind the Knicks bench, and I, the journalist, nearby in a courtside press seat. Madison Square Garden was the center of our sporting universe, the footing on which our friendship was founded. Over the years, we shared our love for the game, however abysmally played by the Knicks. But on that October night, days before Halloween, it had a measurably different feel, an unmistakable sense of denouement. Any game we attended together at this point in time was conceivably our last. A fixture for decades behind the Knicks bench, Michelle was no longer a season ticket holder. She had them for this game against the Brooklyn Nets, thanks to the largesse of a wealthy financial mogul who, for several years, had been her semi-secret benefactor. The tickets had once actually been affordable, a bargain even. For years, Michelle had owned four, selling off the two that were nearby in her section on the railing a few feet to her right, and using the markup to help defray the cost of her own seat. But courtside prices surged with the NBA's popularity, growing steeper by the season. Michelle held on to her remaining life luxury for as long as she could, while admitting, "I'm embarrassed to tell people what I pay for basketball tickets." Finally, the realities of retirement and living on a fixed income set in. In 2011, when the garden underwent an expensive redevelopment, the price of a single game seat for Michelle soared from $330 to $900 per game. There was an option to move to a cheaper location, away from the court, far from the action, back to where she had started many years earlier. She wasn't interested, admittedly spoiled. She figured she was done. Until Wynn Plout, the financier, stepped in to keep her in her seat. In the game. Plout's wife, Robin Kelly, was a friend of Michelle's from their yoga class in Greenwich, just south of Stamford. Even there, basketball was a uniting force. The studio was run by the wife of Gail Goodrich, a Hall of Fame player from the 60s and 70s, who occasionally showed up to fake his way through the routines, happier to talk hoops with Michelle. Plout's parents were dying. His son had cancer. His marriage was in jeopardy. His wife had gone to a few games with Michelle and had enjoyed the scene. He thought, "Okay, these are really expensive, but I'm in the financial world. I've done fine. Maybe going to some games with Robin might reconnect us." The marriage didn't survive, but Michelle somehow managed to become a confidant to both as they hurtled toward divorce, and she continued attending games with one or the other. Michelle, the Knicks loyalist, was the true survivor. Her arrangement with Plout allowed her to attend her fair share of the season's 41 home games. But she was pushing 80, and winter night driving had become an adventure best avoided by the 2016-17 season. She went from rarely missing a game to needing someone, usually Plout, to give her a ride.